7654321.
It's now time for the Pony Cake Sports Podcast with your hosts, Josh Stevens, Tim Thompson, and Tom Schultz.
Woo! Hey there, everybody. We are back with another episode, and I'm here with none other than Tim and Tom, guys. How we doing?
Oh, hey, Josh. Nice to see you. Haven't seen you in a while.
Yeah, it's been a,
how you doing
it's
today?
Been a week.
It's good to see your beautiful face. Yeah. Those eyes, that smile.
Your eyes are looking really good right now,
they
Josh.
They popping tonight?
They are right. Popping.
I'll tell you what. My, oh, my. You are one beautiful individual.
Getting weird already in the Pony Keg Sports studio. I like that. We are going to be talking about some of the stuff that is going on in training camp. And this is probably one of the more exciting times for the NFL season besides the actual games. Camp positions going on, battles going on, people getting hurt, a lot of other stuff changing for fantasy. So a lot of news and a lot of stuff that we get to talk about.
I want to start.
All right.
I want to start by giving a network that we all love, the NFL Network. I want to start by giving them a big thumbs down. The other night, they broke down the Seattle Seahawks. And now, this is all supposed to be live, right? They air it as live. They broke down the Seattle Seahawks schedule. Which, okay, that's all good and well. The only problem was, it was from last year. It was a recorded tape of last year, them breaking down the Seahawks schedule. Big thumbs down. And beyond that, I don't know if you've watched any of the training camp coverage, but they had, who's the Ravens' old head coach?
Billick.
Thank you, Brian Billick and Mooch. They had them on and them talking about stories. It just seems all very, no one really knows what they're doing. Very just kind of blah. So big thumbs down so far. I realize it's hard, you know, coming up with things to talk about at times, but you know what? Pony Keg Sports has been here all year round, 24/7, very similar to the NFL Network. So NFL Network, get your shit together. It's almost preseason, baby.
One big shout out again to our buddies at CleatGeeks.com. Check them out on Twitter at CleatGeeks. Tweet them. Let them know that we are the ones that sent you. They do a bunch of articles on their website. They plug us on their articles and all that good stuff. They do everything. Football, baseball, basketball, wrestling.
Thumb wrestling trials.
Yeah, everything. So check them out. Do yourselves a favor. Check out all their articles. Tweet them out. Let them know we are the ones that sent you their way. So let's also talk about some of the stuff that's going on in camp other than Tim's hate for the NFL Network. what big stories do you guys want to talk about?
I want to talk about Mr. Perfect from the Cincinnati Bengals. You know, they're in a non-tackling drill, and he decides to go low on Mr. One, Gio Bernard, who's recovering from torn ACL and ACL surgery, and go low and take him down, and it started a huge brawl. It really doesn't shock me that he's the type of guy who doesn't listen to his coaches, who doesn't really give a shit about his teammates. He's trying to set the tone early. I get that's the type of player he is, but he has to understand and be smarter than that to take one of their most explosive playmakers down in a non-tackling drill like that.
Tom, did you see the hit?
It wasn't that bad.
Did you
bad.
See the hit?
No, but it doesn't matter. It was a non-tackling drill.
This is the new NFL full of snowflakes. If Gio Bernard is healthy enough to be out there, it's not like he creamed him. It's not like he went helmet into the knee. He worked the body. He fell and then just wrapped up the legs gently and put him on his butt.
Tim, that would be like me and you saying we're going to have a slap boxing competition.
Well, I would have a slap boxing.
And I just punch you in the face with a closed fist. That's the same thing that happened in this scenario.
No, it's not the same thing.
They told him not to tackle, not to bring the players down to touch them.
He ran into him. And then momentum and everything else, let him just slowly take him down. Listen, if Gio Bernard's healthy enough to be out there, you know who's on your defense. Guess what? When you fill your defense with guys with, you know, subject judgment, stuff like that's going to happen. Don't put him on the field if he's not healthy enough to be out there.
Next time, he needs to go after a fucking man, Mr. Joe Mixon, and try to take him down and get his ass ran over.
Oh, yeah, what's going to happen when he takes him down? Is he going to punch Perfect's wife?
Well, let's talk about Giovanni Bernard. That's a good story right there. He's coming back from his injury. And all reports from training camp says that he looks fantastic. He looks explosive. He looks like one of the best running backs out there right now, making cuts that they didn't see him make, you know, previously. Is it going to be the Giovanni Bernard of old, or is it the Joe Mixon show from here on out?
I personally think it's the Joe Mixon show, but we've seen two running backs succeed in this offense. But Gio's going to be that scat back, that third down running back who catches the football a lot. And I really think he'll be in that Danny Woodhead, Darren Sproles role, be close to 100 carries and probably 50 to 60 catches. But I think Mixon's that good, and I think he's going to dominate and take this running back backfield over. And I don't think there's really anything Jeremy Hill or Giovanni Bernard can do about it.
It's all going to depend on how Joe Mixon is catching the ball out of the backfield. Obviously, he showed
us. He's very
us,
good at it.
That's what I was getting to. If you'd let me finish my sentence, Tom, if he's able to do what he did at Oklahoma, then I agree with Tom completely. He has every opportunity to come in there. The team has not been happy with Jeremy Hill. Obviously, Gio coming off of that injury. Joe Mixon is going to have every opportunity to take over.
Giovanni Bernard and Jeremy Hill, are those two guys that you maybe be thinking about sleeper-wise for your fantasy team later in the in your drafts?
I think Gio is being slept on. He's always been a quality PPR back, in all honesty. He makes a lot of all the touches he gets. He's very productive, very efficient, and as long as he's getting the football, he's going to get tons of yardage for you.
Both of these guys are going to be guys who I think are going to score touchdowns, but it's going to be a boom or bust type weeks like you've seen out of both of them in the past.
Well, if you guys want to talk about some of those guys being sleepers, we can argue and talk about it, have an actual discussion about it on DraftingSleepers.com. Again, thanks to them, Social Media Network for Fantasy Sports. Visit Drafting Sleepers today after the show. Sign up for free. Make a free account. Talk sleepers. Talk fantasy football. Great thing to do. Join up for free. Join it after the show. So, what are some of the other stories you guys want to talk about?
You know, I have one here. Let's talk about a guy on the Seattle Seahawks. You know, I take that back. Let's go to another one of the fun stories out of camp. Julian Edelman told to leave practice because he started a fight with the newly signed cornerback, Stephon Gilmore. Incomplete in the pass into the end zone. Those two start going at it, and Edelman told, get out of here, champ. Pretty interesting. You have a vet who's been there for a while, been Tom Brady's kind of best friend against the new guy, the big money guy. What are your thoughts on these two going at it?
Belichick's got a pretty standard rule, no fighting on his practice field. And if anybody fights, it doesn't matter who it is, he sends him off the field. So
Gilmore didn't have to leave?
Well, Julian Edelman started it.
I'm pretty sure he started it.
But I'm pretty sure Stephon Gilmore left too.
I thought both of them got kicked off.
Yeah.
But it's Bill Belichick's rule. He knows what he's doing, obviously. There's a reason he's won more Super Bowls than any other coach in the NFL's history. And we see it happen all over. Look, I was watching a crap load of Colts highlights, and there's a bunch of fights for their team. Some coaches like it, but Belichick, he probably doesn't want to risk the injury. Yeah, we've seen a lot of dumb crap happen when guys decide to get in a fight when they both have helmets on. We've seen likes of Jordan Reed punch a dude in the helmet. That makes absolutely no sense whatsoever, but it happens. These guys are grown men. They're filled with testosterone. They're trying to make this football team prove a point and show that they're the biggest, baddest guy on their football team, and it's going to happen.
Like you said, Belichick definitely knows what he's doing. You saw the story was out. I can't remember who had it, so my apologies, about how Gillette Stadium doesn't have any more room for banners. That pisses me off. I mean, that sucks. But you see the video of Belichick whipping pads at Tom Brady as he dropped back for a pass. Hilarious. I love it. I don't know.
Tom, you got a nice piece that we wanted to talk about. We actually talked about pre-show. But tell us about Marone and the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah, he was talking to a reporter, and the reporter asked him how many times he would like to see Blake Bortles throw the football. His answer was zero, that he would like to run the football every play and reinvent the game of football.
I have the exact quote here for you, Tom. He said, I'd like to run the ball every play. I want to go back to the old way. I want to change the game.
Fantastic.
I don't know if that's a show of faith in Fournette or if that's a big time slight at Bortles.
That was going to be my next question. What does that hold for Leonard Fournette in redraft leagues? Does that boost your confidence a little bit more, maybe to a running back one for him?
I have confidence in Fournette, but what I don't have confidence in is his offensive line, especially with Brandon Albert retiring, and now they're going to have to rely on a rookie to be their starting left tackle. Their offensive line struggled tremendously last year. They were not able to open up holes for the running game, weren't able to protect Mr. Blake Bortles, and we all know that offensive line is a big part to running back success in the NFL. Even the most talented running backs in the NFL, if they are not getting blocked for, they struggle. Look at Todd Gurley last season.
Well, this was a big story as well because Blake Bortles, through his first like 2 or 3 days of training camp, had thrown like 8 interceptions or something ridiculous like that. Recently, his last few days, he's somewhere out. I have a line here that says he was 36 for 42 with 0 interceptions and 11 on 11. Listen, Blake Bortles, I think, is an average quarterback. I don't think they're going to totally abandon the passing game. With that being said, you know, you have to realize that a lot of Blake Bortles, you know, numbers have come from, you know, garbage time.
Oh yeah, definitely. I agree with that. Let's move on to another rookie running back. Let's go to Christian McCaffrey, getting a ton of praise out of Carolina. Jonathan Stewart almost putting him on a pedestal, saying nobody can cover him one on one. And I forget what linebacker it was that was covering him. Thompson. Thompson, I think, is what it was. And McCaffrey made him look stupid on the practice field. So what are your guys' thoughts on, one, Christian McCaffrey getting so much praise, and two, Jonathan Stewart being the guy to do it?
Well, when you watch Christian McCaffrey's film in college, we saw him make a lot of people look stupid. We saw Stanford use him in every possible way, lined him up as the X, as the Y outside, have him run between the tackles, run outside zones. But he's that type of an athlete that he could make a lot of defenders look stupid, especially if they're not the most physically gifted. Chet Thompson, he's a good athlete, and he's a smaller, undersized linebacker who is supposed to be able to run and cover these types of running backs. And if he's struggling, that's saying a lot.
Yeah, I mean, and my favorite part about that is he's up there building up. He's saying, you know, no one can cover him. He's going to be a great running back. And someone, I believe, asked him, well, then what's your position on the team? And he kind of just didn't have anything to say. So, I mean, it kind of is what it is. I want to ask you guys, obviously, these three rookie running backs, the big three, right? Delvin Cook, McCaffrey, and Leonard Fournette, all getting a ton of love in preseason, all getting, you know, that they're going to be running back number ones. Which one has the best season?
Joe Mixon.
Well, we didn't actually even touch on Delvin Cook yet, because Delvin Cook right now is getting a ton of praise from not just his head coaches, not just his offensive coordinator, not just the running back coach, but even veterans on the team saying that they haven't seen anybody quite like that in some time, which is kind of funny to say because Adrian Peterson was there last year. So with all this love going around for Delvin Cook, me personally, I think it's a great fit for him. You're going to see a lot of checkdowns from Bradford going to him. And again, when we talked about it in previous shows, you take the numbers for Jerick McKinnon and Matt Asiata, you combine those two, not even including Adrian Peterson's numbers, they were a top 10 running back right there. And I think Delvin Cook is a much better running back than either one of those. And on Sleeperbot, we've been talking about it over and over again. These people, they just keep going on and on.
These people.
They just keep going on and on about how Jerick McKinnon is the guy. And I'm like, just because his spark score was in the 95 percentile doesn't mean shit because he hasn't done anything with it. So if you guys are listening, Delvin Cook's the guy.
Oh, yeah. I agree 100%. I think Asiata and McKinnon had, I think it was over 75 receptions last year. Asiata is gone, but I can see Cook somewhere between the 40 and 50 reception marker. I think he's going to get a lot of the work between the 20s. I can see Layabouts Murray stealing a lot of the goal line work. He's the bigger running back, and we've seen him be successful in that goal line work. But Cook, the arrow should be pointing up for him. He's the lead dog right now with Layabouts Murray out, and everyone's raving about him. And the Vikings probably would have taken him in the first round if they had a first-round pick. They love this kid, and he's showing right now why they fell in love with him.
I want to talk about the Ravens. Are they having the worst offseason in the history of offseasons?
Their offseason is similar to the start of your fantasy season last year, Josh. Everything that can go wrong has gone wrong. They have no quarterback. They running back is in question. They're losing linemen. Even before they were losing linemen, you got Eric Weddle on the sideline calling them the Bad News Bears on offense.
Perriman just went down with a hamstring injury.
It's not good. Perriman went down. And that defensive side of the ball, which has remained healthy, is going to be very interesting personality-wise. I'm a lot of bit nervous. I am shocked, and I would be shocked, if they do not sign Colin Kaepernick. Now is the time. The NFL has blackballed Colin Kaepernick. Just sign Kaepernick. He's your best option available.
Right now, though, they're reporting, though, that the Flacco back injury, it's arrows pointing up, and that he looks like he should be back shortly. But for me, all this is showing is that Danny Woodhead is going to be an absolute beast this year. The Ravens are going to be terrible, and all they're going to be able to do is throw a little check down to Mr. Little Danny Woodhead, and he's going to have 90 receptions this year. I can't wait.
It'll be very interesting. I think Danny Woodhead's going to have a big year PPR-wise. And I think, again, like you said, a lot of people are sleeping on him. I think Terrence West is going to have a good year, too.
Yeah.
Terrence West can catch the ball out of the backfield as well. And if he is given the full throttle of being the starting running back, which he now is with Kenneth Dixon being out, again, another guy that we didn't really touch on, but he's out for pretty much the season. Not declared fully yet, but it's most likely going to happen.
No, I think that was announced.
Season-ending.
He's done for the season. Flacco has his back, which is still a big question. Saragusa tore his ACL, MCL, PCL.
That's rough for an offensive
lineman.
Crockett
Gilmore is injured, so they don't have a tight end anymore.
John Urschel retired.
I mean, they have so many. You mentioned Perriman taken off the field. They have so many issues on the offensive side of the football.
I kind of feel
bad. And the report was they have no quarterback that can get the ball downfield.
Let's touch on your Colts, Tom. Andrew Luck. Talk about him possibly rumblings of being on the PUP list to start the season. Tim brought it up in our last episode that we were talking about. And what do you think? What do you think is going on?
Personally, I don't think he's going to start the season on the PUP list. I think if the Colts were super worried about it, they would have brought in another veteran quarterback, or they would have at least worked out another veteran quarterback, because Tolzien isn't the answer. And I don't think the Colts are into throwing away this season, because if Luck starts the season on the PUP list, they should have someone else playing quarterback for them. Tolzien is not the answer. If the Colts go and sign one Colin Kaepernick or go work out an RG3, then I'm going to start to worry. But until then, I'm not too worried.
Yeah, Big Dick Ballard insisted Luck will be activated. That's what this says. It says Big Dick Ballard. So he will be activated from the PUP list before week one. Again, we have a lot of confusing reports on him. So I think he's going to be activated. I don't think we're not going to see him or not see him on the field.
He'll probably start the season rusty. They play a tough Rams team week one. I wouldn't expect him and his weapons to look the greatest fantasy-wise, but he'll be fine. He'll be a little slow start, but I have faith in Mr. Andy Luck starting the season.
Just going back real quick to the Ravens, that Crockett Gilmore injury, he did have to have surgery to repair his MCL. He is done for the year as well.
Yeah, that sucks. I feel bad for the Ravens. But Andrew Luck-wise, I just don't – if he's going to miss a week or two, I don't see how they put him on the PUP list
and
hold him out for the first 6 weeks. I think you just sit him for the first 2 weeks and kind of be done with it, you know? I want to move on to the Tennessee Titans. Corey Davis automatically inputted into the first team offense right away. Eric Decker and Rishard Matthews, your boy, your favorite wide receiver,
yep,
Tim, they're splitting time at the outside wide receiver role. And with Corey Davis being implemented in the first string offense so fast and so early, what do we think is going to happen for Corey Davis this year? And what do we think is going to happen with Eric Decker? Do you think it's just because he's a little rusty?
I think they invested a super high pick on Corey Davis. They want him on the field. They want him and Marcus Mariota to grow together. to be that franchise quarterback and wide receiver together, and that's what they're planning on doing, obviously, since he is taking those first-team reps. But if you're a Corey Davis owner in Dynasty, or you're thinking about drafting him in a Dynasty, or even a redraft, you have to be really happy about this. Right now, everything is pointing that he should be getting majority of reps on the outside for them, and that's his best position for the Titans.
Listen, when it comes to Decker, I think that they're going to slowly bring him along to make sure he's fully healthy and he's ready to go. I think he'll see some playing time, but I think the main 1-2 punch that you're going to see is that of Corey Davis and Rishard Matthews. Corey Davis is going to have every opportunity to go out there and be the number one guy. I agree completely that the Titans want Mariota and Davis to be their future, but you potentially could see what the Raiders had when they had Amari Cooper and Michael Crabtree. And Michael Crabtree was able to still go out there, and they were both successful. Rishard Matthews has proven over the last couple of seasons that he can be an effective wide receiver in the league. Obviously, this is only going to be his third year, but he showed a lot last year. This isn't going to be his third year, but he showed a lot last year with Mariota. If he's able to go out there and continue to be that big presence, there's no reason that both Matthews and Corey Davis can't be successful.
I agree. I think Decker's on the wrong side of 30. I think he's going to be a red zone target. I don't think he's going to be the guy to stretch the field like he was for the Denver Broncos. But I think he's going to be a solid contributor. I think he's going to make catches when he needs to make them. But I think the days of Eric Decker being super dominant like he was before, I think they're over, but he'll be a reliable target.
But it does say here on his wife's Instagram that it's Big Dick Decker to you, sir.
Big Dick Decker, all right.
His wife does say that.
Yeah, she had a tweet. He tripped when he was running, and she said he fell over his third leg, which was pretty funny.
Jordan Reed, a lot of talk with him in camp right now. We have him going to a toe injury. He's going to a specialist for it, and a lot of reports are saying the visit was just a follow-up. Is there more to worry about with one Jordan Reed?
We really have no idea, but This is why you draft late into August or early in September. I'm a little worried about Jordan Reed, though. We've seen him struggle with injuries a lot in his career. It's kind of been his MO, same with Mr. Rob Gronkowski, to miss a bunch of games. But when this dude is healthy, he's definitely one of the most versatile and most effective tight ends in the NFL. For me, though, I'm a little worried about it.
He is. I also want to talk about, not to change the subject, Josh. Obviously, he, like,
Tom's, why would you change the subject?
Because it's on the same team. I want to. Jordan Reed is obviously the guy if he's healthy. But if he's not, someone in training camp right now who's blowing it up for the Redskins is one Terrell Pryor. Had a fantastic one-handed grab, and they're saying that he's going to be a big deal for the Redskins.
Yeah, and rightfully so. They paid him some money. 1-year contract, it's another prove-it deal.
Yep.
And if he does prove that he is the guy that he thinks he is, and a lot of people other that they think he is, I mean, it's tough for Terrell Pryor. I don't want to say the odds are stacked against him, but they are. He's a quarterback, converted to wide receiver. He is a big man, 6'4". He's got some weight on him. He's fast as hell. And he really proved that he could be a number one wide receiver last year. The numbers could have been inflated due to no other wide receiving options on that team for the Cleveland Browns, and he could have been the only option. That's why he got force-fed the ball. And now he's on a team where, again, he's kind of in the same situation where he was at on the Browns. You have Josh Doctson. You can kind of compare him to Corey Coleman, two rookie wide receivers. It's not the same skill set, but two highly touted rookie wide receivers. You have Jamison Crowder, who's actually a pretty decent wide receiver, and we'll see what happens. But I think for Pryor to be really lighting it up, you're going to have Jordan Reed out there to take some of the pressure off, and vice versa.
Guys, right now, it seems like every year a rookie wide receiver gets hurt, misses the whole season. Are we seeing that again with Mr. Mike Williams?
Yep.
Yeah, that's...
Listen, guys, I don't normally like to brag. I'm a pretty humble guy. I don't like to say I told you so. But going back weeks now, I told you so. I told you that I loved what they did in their draft, except for Mike Williams. I thought they reached. I thought that they knew that he had injuries coming in. They didn't know it was this bad. it reminded me so much of Kevin White, and it seems to be playing out that way. Every day you hear it's an argument. Well, someone said that he's going to be out for the season. Well, he's not actually out for the season yet, but he might be. It's the same thing that the Bears went through with Kevin White. I've seen this story before. I had Mike Williams higher than both of you. I think I'm the only one who, for most of the draft leading up, had him above Corey Davis. I think in the end I put Corey Davis ahead of him, but I was so high on Mike Williams, and unfortunately I would almost guarantee at this point that he is not going to play in 2017.
The worst part about it is when we were talking about Mike Williams and the Chargers, that news that broke out with Mike Williams was the day after we recorded that episode. So we couldn't go back and be like, oh, let us change that real quick. But beforehand, if Mike Williams is healthy, I think he'd be a dominant wide receiver. Huge red zone target. But with Mike Williams being hurt, I don't know what's going to happen with that Chargers offense. They got to hope and pray that Keenan Allen does not get hurt. And Tyrell Williams can take a huge jump from where he was last year, because not only did he play very well, he's got to play even better.
Tyrell Williams, if Mike Williams is out, Tyrell's ADP should be skyrocketing.
Oh, skyrocketing.
It should be absolutely insane. Like, I'd be considering taking him over Keenan Allen. Yeah, Keenan Allen should be the big dog, and we've seen what he can do when he's healthy. We've seen Phillip Rivers just force feed him the football. But you got to be worried about those injuries. And we saw Williams last year put out a top 20 season, kind of coming out of nowhere. He's big, he's physical, extremely athletic, and he's shown that he could be a number one in this system.
Who is going to win the quarterback starting position for the Houston Texans? We have Texans coach Bill O'Brien saying Deshaun Watson is ahead of any rookie quarterback I've ever been around. He's already talking about how great he is, although a month ago he said that Watson was not nearly where he needs to be. A lot of back and forth, but now we're hearing the praise towards Watson. And because Tim is a Watson hater, I'd like Tim to go first.
I love hearing the QB hype in preseason. It's not often you get that this guy is ready right now when he wasn't already going to be the quarterback, right? Mariota, Winston, when those guys came through, they were probably going to start regardless. Everyone said that Deshaun Watson was going to have to wait, and he's just getting built up and built up and built up. Listen, I'll be the first one to admit, I won't lie. I did not think he was a great first round pick. I did not think he was the best quarterback in this draft, but it is looking like he's definitely going to get an opportunity this year. I don't know if it'll be at the start of the season, but he's definitely going to get an opportunity this year.
The first sign of struggle from Tom Savage, Watson's going to get in there. The Texans traded up. They need a franchise quarterback. They're under the impression that Tom Savage is not that. I'm pretty sure all three of us are under that same impression. And they are praying to God that Deshaun Watson is that franchise quarterback that they have been looking for, that they need. That's exactly what they're short right now. They got a great defense, pretty good weapons on the outside with DeAndre Hopkins. You got Lamar Miller running the football. They need that quarterback if they want to compete in the AFC.
Yeah, I mean, Tom Savage, he was great in Wonder Years, but he's just not that great of a quarterback.
The San Francisco 49er backfield. What the hell is going on with that?
I will tell you what's going on. I'm going to cut you off right there, Josh, because our friend on Twitter, whose name I cannot recall right now, who I had argued with at length that Joe Williams is going to be the starting running back. There's still reports coming out that the team is not happy with Carlos Hyde. I'm not sure he's going to make the team. They're saying that he might be one of those, you know, shock cap casualties. I don't know. I don't necessarily see him being cut. I think the 49ers are at a point right now where they, you know, might as well keep him and see what he can put out this year. But as I have said 1 million times, Joe Williams will be the starting running back at some point this year.
I agree with you, Tim. I think Williams should be a candidate to be leading this backfield to start the year. But right now, Hightower's getting the first team reps, which is pretty interesting. We saw him last year with New Orleans.
Yeah, you got to remember, Hightower last year, he caught a lot of balls out of that backfield. And
he looked good.
Yeah, he looked decent last year. There was a point in time where he was a viable starter on fantasy teams.
So there's a chance he starts. There's all these reports about Carlos Hyde getting cut and being that surprise cut. But I just don't get why they would do that. They would save, I think, $1 million, which is really nothing for the NFL salary cap, and he's still on his rookie deal. They might not like him, but I feel like they would try to trade him.
I want to ask you guys this. If, let's just say Carlos Hyde is on the team, who is going to be the running back with the most fantasy points for this San Francisco team? Is it going to be Carlos Hyde? Is it going to be Joe Williams? Is it going to be Tim Hightower? And who's that other running back? The other kid's really good, too. I just can't remember his name.
I can't think of his name.
Another rookie guy, just drawing a blank. But you have those three guys. Who out of those three are you really looking at to outscore the others?
You know what? I mean,
Breida's the other one.
The easy answer is Carlos Hyde. But I think it's going to be a lot closer this year. Listen, Tim Hightower, like you said, is going to be catching a lot of the balls out of the backfield. They're going to need an actual running back. And the best running back, real running back on the team, I truly believe, is Joe Williams. So I feel like he's going to get a lot of the play there. Carlos Hyde is going to be splitting time. He's not going to be the first and second down running back, and Hightower is going to be the third down running back like you would kind of expect. Williams, Hyde, and Hightower are all going to be splitting time evenly, in my opinion.
I think it could all be pretty close.
It's going to be a running back by committee. And they got Juszczyk as well, who caught tons of footballs in Baltimore last year.
Yep.
So there's going to be a lot of running backs catching the football for the 49ers. Just look last season. You had DeMarco, their fullback for Atlanta. You had Freeman. You had Coleman. All of them caught tons of footballs. The same shit is going to happen in San Francisco. And it's going to be hard to own any of these guys. I think it's really going to be a true running back by committee. It'll probably be ugly, but I do like taking a flyer on one, Joe Williams. I think he can be the lead dog. Reminds me of that one-cut slasher like Freeman in Atlanta that kind of succeeded well in Shanahan's system, and he could be that same type of player. He's extremely fast, good catcher, and the only really negative thing about him was that he retired technically from football while he was at Utah.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing with him is if he quote-unquote actually loves the game of football.
I think money will motivate him.
I'm pretty sure he came out and said that he had a lot of personal issues going on, and that's why he had to step away.
Oh, yeah.
Duke Johnson getting a lot of, I don't want to say a lot of praise, but he's getting some praise going on in camp and practicing with the wide receivers. He can catch the ball out of the backfield. We know that. He's averaging, out of two seasons, 50-something catches a year. Is he somebody to look for later in rounds, possibly as your PPR darling, hoping that maybe he does switch to wide receiver?
In PPR leagues, you should be looking at Duke Johnson. You should be targeting him. And just look at Hugh Jackson's systems. When he was offensive coordinator in Cincinnati, look at his running backs there. He had Jeremy Hill, who was a top 12 guy in standard. He had Gio, who was a top 20 guy consistently in PPR. You could expect the same thing going on in Cleveland. You got Isaiah Crowell, who's going to handle a lot of the first, second down. He catches the football as well. Duke Johnson, he's going to be on the field quite often this year.
It's Cleveland. That's the best thing for Duke Johnson. It's Cleveland, baby.
Another week, another no decision on the Ezekiel Elliott front. And I know you're an Elliott homeboy. I want to know what do you guys think on that?
So Jerry Jones came out and said if the league decides to suspend Ezekiel Elliott, he's going to fight it with all the powers he has and says that he has Robert Kraft at his back to go to bat for them. So if this does happen, all hell's breaking loose. When you got the two most powerful owners in the NFL, if that is true that Kraft is behind them saying, we're not going to stand for this, then Tom was joking with me earlier. I don't think you were here yet, Josh, saying it's going to go all the way to the Supreme Court. Maybe it will.
Yeah, I've heard actually that it was Robert Kraft and Jerry Jones, but I've also heard that a lot of the other owners are very, very wanting of a Elliott suspension, and they think that he deserves to get suspended. Yeah. I think it's going to be tough. I think it's going to be tough if you have two owners, two high-powered owners, against, say, 20 owners. It's going to be very tough.
He vandalized that bucket in the season last year. That's why he should be suspended.
I really don't understand the NFL's stance on this. Yeah, they've done a lot of interesting things in the past with suspensions, but if they're trying to suspend him for domestic violence, there is a new rule where it has to be 6 games. We haven't heard that at all, so I don't know. I don't think they're going to be suspending him for that. Maybe they're going to suspend him for pulling the tit out at that St. Paddy's Day parade or vandalizing the Salvation Army.
Hey, the bucket.
The bucket, but I just don't understand. There's definitely going to be an appeal. Personally, I hope he suspended 1 game and kind of teaches him a lesson that he is not
above the law.
Yeah, exactly.
No, listen, should he be suspended? No. Since he's not on my fantasy team and he's on yours, Tom, in our Keepers League, I would be happy if he was. But should he be? No. I don't believe that there's any rules saying that you can't rip out a female's boob at a parade. I don't believe that's against the rules.
If he is suspended, how many games? You say one?
That's what I'm hoping. I think it'll be one or two if he is suspended.
I think it'll be two. Yeah.
I think if anything, it'd be two as well.
Yep.
They'll probably try to get him at 2-4, and he'll appeal, and he'll go down.
Yep.
The same stuff that happened with Lev Bell.
Yep. The number 24th overall pick in the NFL draft.
You read my mind,
baby.
Is this
the steal of the draft now? Gerrion Conley, his sexual assault allegations, they are no longer there. They're gone.
No charges being brought. Listen, the Raiders look like geniuses on that. That was like the downer of the day one draft, right?
Oh,
he was drafted, everyone went quiet, and all the networks were, well, we know Gerrion Conley, how's that about? Like, everyone went quiet. He is one of the very best. He would have went probably 12 to 16 picks higher if it weren't for that, maybe even higher than that. He is an absolute stud, and the Raiders just got a steal.
Yeah, I agree 100%, Tim. It doesn't happen too often that me and you are on the same page. I'm glad we are here. Gerrion Conley is a talented football player. There was rumors that he would have went 14 to the Eagles. They were targeting him until this whole incident took place. But it's kind of sad what one person can do to someone's career. Just one little allegation because they saw each other in an elevator and he called her a fat cow or something. I'm guessing something along those lines happened. She went straight to the cops saying she was raped. But
wow.
I can't believe.
Wow, Tom.
I can't
wow.
believe that people.
Well, two thirds of us here aren't anti domestic violence or rape victims, whatever the hell Tom is claiming to be right now. Listen, all Conley has to do is look at Pac-Man Jones. He didn't shoot up anyone at a strip club. He hasn't done any of the crazy shit Pac-Man has done. And Pac-Man is still in the league. He's suspended now the first, what, 1 game, 2 games? I think he got 1 game to start the season again. And he's a multiple time offender. But. You know what? Conley will be okay. Hopefully this is the last we will be hearing of him in this news.
Jay Ajayi started running back for the Miami Dolphins. Gets his bell rung. For the Miami Dolphins. Gets his bell rung. What are the thoughts on him, Tim? I want to ask you because you do have him on your team in our Keepers League.
I do.
And, yeah.
It scared me.
Did I say the Giants?
No,
I say the Dolphins?
Yeah, you said Ajayi and then you scared yourself.
Oh, yeah. My bad.
I broke the news to you guys because I didn't want you to break it first and start making fun of me. I was nervous. He walked off the field fine. They took his helmet. I think it's more precautionary at this time. He's not in concussion protocol yet. I know that can still happen, but as of now, take it slow. Hopefully, we don't even see him this preseason.
What the Dolphins should do is bring in Arian Foster, have Jay Ajayi get benched the first week, you know, kind of light that fire under his ass, and hopefully he'll have another badass season like
From what
did
I
last
hear,
season.
Speaking of our sleeper wire little stab here, sleeper wire, Kenyon Drake's looking great in preseason, so maybe someone, especially if you're in a PPR league, maybe someone to have. Adam Gase likes to have his pass-catching running backs. Kenyon Drake can be that.
God, I don't even know. I don't know. I hope Jay Ajayi is not hurt, but for like...
We're in the same division, bitch. You better hope he is hurt.
Yeah, I like Jay Ajayi. I'm a huge fan of Jay Ajayi's, but for fantasy purposes, I really, really hope I don't see him out there. Will Fuller, your boy, he's working on... to correct his issues with drops.
I hope so.
Yeah, because he sucks at catching the ball.
Oh, yeah.
Hopefully he uses some stick'em, because I think that's the only way he's going to
fix it. It better look like
problem.
An elephant jerked off on his hands, and
what the
that's
hell
pretty,
did you just say? That's pretty inappropriate.
He's got to have it on the stick.
This is a family show. This is a family show.
Haven't you ever seen The Replacements?
Yeah, I've seen
it. And you're like, that's what it looks like. I wish I had video to show you guys.
All
right. What else you guys got to talk about?
What about the Bears, one of their best defenders, Pernell McPhee? Tim, are you worried about him? Kind of been a little of a disappointment for the Bears. Played right around 300 snaps last year for them. It's kind of looks bad. Him and Lamar Houston, both big-time pass rushers that they bring in, and both have kind of shit the bed.
Tom, I don't have anything to be worried about because my team is horrible, okay? And what we have in excess right now, what we lack in talent, we have in money. We have a lot of money and no talent. The talent that we do have, apparently they can't stay healthy and stay on the field. Pernell McPhee has been injured since the day that we signed him. Last year was the most snaps that he played. Yes, he's definitely a disappointment. I hope he's able to get on the field. I'm more worried about my wide receiver that we drafted in the first round who needs to have motivational speeches and have someone monitoring his Google searches so he doesn't see any bad things about him. That's what I'm more worried about. Kevin White is who I'm speaking of. For those of you who don't know, a wide receiver coach have him watching his college tape, letting him know, see, you were a good wide receiver. See, you went up for the ball. You can do it. Don't listen to what everyone else is saying. The Bears have turned into a fucking Tony Robbins seminar, and it's the most disgusting thing I've ever seen.
Talking about their wide receivers, we have Meredith, we have the great Kevin White, we have I can't even say it with a straight face. I'm sorry, I can't help myself. What do you think of their wide receivers and their core that they have going on? They got a shit ton of guys.
I don't think anything. Listen, the Bears are going to start 0-8 this year. Their schedule is brutal. They might even start 0-9. I know they don't have a winnable game until they play the 49ers. And from what the schedule that I've got, I don't have it in front of me, but what I remember, they don't have a winnable game until the 49ers. I think I had them winning two games this year, maybe three again. That's only because they play the 49ers and the Browns. That first week, people are like, oh, well, they're playing the Falcons at home. The Falcons are going to be so pissed off. They're going to lose by 185 points. It's not good.
I'm going to take the Bears and the points week one.
Plus 185?
Who, you have Marcus Wheaton as well. Are you excited
Victor
with Marcus
Cruz?
Wheaton?
Josh, I don't know. Do I need to say this in Spanish? I'm not excited about anything. There's nothing on the Bears I'm excited about. Not even Jordan Howard. Jordan Howard had a great year last year. I'm fully expecting him to, one, either blow out a knee, or two, just forget how to run the football and just start fumbling all the time. I'm not excited about anything for the Bears.
What about Tariq Cohen?
Ask me if I'm excited about Mike Lennon. Nope. Mitch Trubisky? Nope, not him either. I am not excited about the Bears at all. I literally hope they cut their whole entire team and they bring up a JV football team.
One guy that I think we're all kind of excited for, Zay Jones.
Oh,
Buffalo
yeah.
Bills. Oh, yeah. He's working on the outside and in the slot. What are your guys' thought on him for his rookie year coming up? The only wide receiver that's ahead of him on the depth chart is one Sammy Watkins. And I haven't heard anything about Anquan Boldin signing there yet.
Nope, not yet.
Yet.
Not officially.
For me, Zay Jones is my number one ranked rookie wide receiver. I think the landing spot, it's not perfect in Buffalo. They don't pass the football that often. They like to run the football. Tyrod Taylor likes to run the football. And we haven't seen Sammy Watkins be able to stay healthy. And I'm not expecting that to happen once again. So I'm expecting Zay Jones to take over that number one wide receiver role. And if Watkins cannot stay healthy, he will not be back with Buffalo, which will also help increase Zay Jones' fantasy value in the future.
If he can stay healthy, I like Zay Jones a lot strictly because of landing spot. While I do agree Tyrod is not the best quarterback to have, he has problems staying healthy. They might have a random thing. He's going to get his looks. Who knows what's going to happen with Sammy Watkins. I like the odds of Zay Jones going out there and being a solid wide receiver three.
Are you excited for Cameron Meredith?
Hey, Josh. No, I'm not.
What about Adam Shaheen?
Yeah,
I'm excited.
I'm excited about Adam Shaheen. No, I'm not excited about any. Why would any Bears? Listen, this is what I hate about Bears fans. Other people are a lot of Bears fans and they're passionate about. I'm still a Bears fan. I'm still going to be wearing my jersey. I'm still going to watch them every single Sunday. But I fully expect them to lose by 185 points every single week.
What are your thoughts about Long moving to left guard from right guard?
What? Why are you doing this to our fans?
Honestly, I feel like I have to ask.
Half the people listening to this show didn't even know the Chicago Bears were a franchise anymore. That's how bad they are. Listen,
I feel like that's false.
Kyle Long, I like. Kyle Long is probably the face of the organization right now, but the organization is in shambles at the moment.
One thing that I do want to bring up, and I think this might be one of the craziest things for a coach to say, but, you know, I could be wrong. Saints head coach Sean Payton says he sees similarities between third-round pick Alvin Kamara and one Marshall Faulk. Is that crazy to think of?
Yes.
It's absolutely crazy.
Yes.
But that's just like us comparing when we do our draft breakdown of our player analysis and we compare them to current NFL players or former NFL players. They just do certain things that remind you of what that player did.
I don't agree with that, Tom. Because in draft breakdowns, that's kind of what your job is, to give people a visual of kind of what they can expect. He is behind Mark Ingram, who is a solid Pro Bowl number one running back, and Adrian Peterson, who's one of the best running backs all time right now. And you want to compare him to Marshall Faulk? I think that is just absolutely outrageous. It's not like he said, oh, he can catch the ball and then makes moves like Marshall Faulk. He didn't kind of break it down that way. No, he reminds me of Marshall Faulk. I hate the comparison. I hate when coaches do this, putting far too much pressure on a running back with not nearly enough talent.
Now, I'm not a doctor, all right? But Joey Bosa, maybe our play-by-play analyst, Justin, can give us a little clarification. He is a scientist, after all.
He is. Cooks meth.
But Joey Bosa plans to play through a dislocated finger. He dislocated it last year, and it's still dislocated, and he will not consider surgery until after the season.
Josh, I'm going to cut Justin off here. Do you not remember that there was a guy who blew off half of his hand with fireworks last year and still played? They put a big-ass cast on it that he uses to club people in the head, and he plays football. You don't need a doctor for that. What else do you need? That's
your,
it.
Your facial expression was like, club him in the head.
That's what's going to happen.
Oh,
week one, I guarantee you, Joey Bosa has a cast on his hand that is two sizes of an NFL helmet, and he's just clubbing people left and right. It'll look like an episode of Game of Thrones. He's just bashing his way to the quarterback.
I would have figured by now, if you dislocated last year, how do you not just get a reset and be done, or get surgery done? Well, I unless if it was so late in the season to where I don't know.
We brought up Andrew Luck earlier. His injury was from 2015. Played all last season with his shoulder injury. So he waited a full season to get this shit taken care of, which is kind of dumb. But it is what it is, and it happens quite a bit for quarterbacks and other positional players in the NFL.
Josh, the quote-unquote doctor side of it is these guys look at the best way to make the healing process as quick and painless as possible and make it so they regain the full functionality as quick as possible. He had a whole off-season, yes, but they didn't. There was a potential that once they put it back into place, that all those ligaments and stuff in his hand, that he might have to have surgery done to it.
Gotcha. Thanks.
And that surgery could put him out for quite a while.
Malik McDowell, first round pick of the Seattle Seahawks.
Second round pick.
Or I'm sorry. He may miss his entire rookie year after an ATV accident. Wow.
This is like something out of the show Ballers. I know if you're listening to this show, you watch Ballers. What's the big guy that they have on the Cowboys?
Rock.
No, not the guy they have on the show, dummy. Oh, whatever. It's
he
just
plays
like
for the Cowboys. I can't.
Yeah,
remember.
You know, I don't remember his name, but that's exactly what this is. Like, oh, a paintball accident. He broke his ankle. Yeah, he's out there. Oh, I know. Right before the season starts, let's go party on ATVs. You dumbass. What the hell's the matter with you? He's it's just stupid. Just dumb.
It's extremely upsetting. Malik McDowell is one of my guys. He was Tom's guy in the NFL draft, and now he's getting hurt, and he's proving Tim right, saying he sucked, and he'll be a bust in the NFL.
I did, in fact, say that.
It's kind of upsetting.
Makes me feel good to know that it was your guy, and I was right. Two of my favorite things.
Michael Thomas, there's reports that he's completely uncoverable in practice, and he's just tearing everybody apart. And the other guy that I just want to touch on, David Johnson, there's a lot of talk about him wanting 1,000 rushing yards and 1,000 receiving yards. These two guys, pretty decent rookie years, and then coming into their own later on, and about ready to have big seasons. What are your guys' thoughts on both of those guys?
Michael Thomas might be one of the safest fantasy wide receivers in football right now. You look at that Saints offense, what do they do? They pass the football. Breeze throws for over 5,000 yards, and their number one receiver finishes top 10. That's exactly what's going to happen, barring injury. And David Johnson, complete beast. His rookie year, he scored double-digit touchdowns on limited carries. Last year was his first time being the guy, and he absolutely blew the NFL up. He's got every chance in the world to get 1,000 rushing and 1,000 receiving yards next
year. Tom's highly touted year three. Tom loves guys in year three. That's their blow-up year a lot of the times, mostly with wide receivers. But, hell, it'll work with running backs too, because David Johnson is an absolute beast. Both these guys are, in my opinion, first-round draft picks.
Tom Brady, I believe, just turned 40 years old, right?
Yep.
Goddamn. 40 years old, and I feel like he's still just in his prime. It's crazy to think of.
I'm just wondering, listen, all quarterback, I mean, you saw it with Favre, you saw it with Peyton, you saw it, they just fall off the end of the world, right? They just fall off the map. I'm just wondering when that's going to happen to Brady. Maybe it never will. Maybe he'll solidify himself as the second coming of Jesus Christ. But I'm just wondering when it's going to happen. I don't think it'll be this year.
The last time Tom Brady opened the season against the Chiefs, he tore his ACL. It's going to happen again. His career is over.
Wow.
Chad Williams was getting a lot of praise from a lot of people. And now Bruce Arians is coming out saying that Chad Williams is out of shape. He was supposed to be the second coming of Larry Fitzgerald, supposed to be his replacement. What do you guys think of Chad Williams and being on the Cardinals here, and what do you think the chances of him unseating Larry Fitzgerald?
Well, I can tell you he doesn't do nearly enough charity work to be the second coming of Larry Fitzgerald. Hasn't taught even half the amount of kids to read that Larry Fitzgerald has, so that's not going to be possible. When it comes to the football field, doesn't sound like he has the work ethic so far of one Larry Fitzgerald. Hopefully, this is just Bruce Arians giving him a kick in the shorts, being like, hey, you're not as big as we thought as you think you are, champ. You're going to have to earn it. That's kind of more of the route that I think is going on right now.
Arians is brutally honest, and he's probably being a little extra harsh and extra just brutally honest in this case, especially with a rookie. You need to light the fire under his ass.
He did the same thing with Robert Kimdichie last year,
exactly,
too. Tim, what are your thoughts on Tanner Gentry? Wide receiver that the Bears picked up as a free agent.
I hope he goes back to serving hot dogs at Willie's Weenie Wagon, because that's where he belongs.
You ever watch Tanner Gentry, his highlights?
Josh, I hate everyone on the Chicago Bears. Yes. All of them. What don't you understand? We talk about what's important here. Hey, guess what? There's the Hall of Fame game on Thursday, Josh. And you know what? Bruce Arians, you just mentioned him, said, hey, the field looks good, but none of our starters are going to play. Why do they even have this game anymore? Why?
That's a very good question.
After last year, the field, and then beyond that, what I hate about it the most, outside of the fact that it seems too early for teams to be playing, outside of the fact that there's been multiple issues with players getting injured, last year they didn't even have the game, then I have to have a whole week before I can watch any more football? It's a cock tease. Damn NFL is a cock tease.
Yeah, I'm still going to watch it. It's still football. I mean, I've been watching goddamn CFL. I've been texting you guys.
Yeah, you have. Yeah. You sent me a snap the other day off of the CFL.
I can't help myself. If football is on, I'm watching it. To be honest, I'm telling you, and the more and more that we've watched a lot of these collegiate players and their film breakdown, and I've never been a huge college football guy, I'm literally very, very excited for college football season to come around so I can watch some of these bigger programs and some of these even smaller programs and watch some of their guys and see how they actually do in the early stages of football. And I haven't really looked at the the schedule much, but I know there are some big games, and I'm excited for that, and it's going to be just great leading in into the NFL season, and you get to start seeing these guys firsthand and see where they go from there.
Josh, I am excited for you. Tom and I are both college football fans, but I am excited that we get to bring along our young grasshopper who didn't like college football, and 1 month from today, I believe, we're going to have college football. That I believe it even starts on a Thursday, or might even be a Tuesday with a smaller program. College football is going to be absolutely fantastic this year. I cannot wait.
Yeah, I'm already taking work off. So,
well, you're going to be fired.
I might just stop working.
It's probably a better idea.
Anything else, guys? We got a couple more minutes left.
You want to talk about the you touched on it a little bit, Tom, but that what? Fight that broke out in Colts practice.
Oh, we saw a little Vontae Davis and almost called him Ty. T.Y. Hilton.
His name's Eugene. Mr.
Eugene. They broke out in a little fight. It's good to see a team like the Colts, who notoriously known as being soft and a finesse team of getting after each other, and it's good to see them have some fight with each other.
You know why the Colts can't ever beat the New England Patriots? Because when there's a fight on their practice field, they say, "Oh, well, that's just good for the old sport there. I'm Big Dick Ballard. Here, give me a beer." That's why. They don't understand that you need to have some authority. You need to lay down the law every once in a while.
I just want to ask you guys real quick. I mean, in the next couple episodes, we are going to be doing some positional breakdowns. But out of these rookie running backs, we did talk about, you know, quite a few of them. We did not talk about Kareem Hunt. I haven't really heard a ton of him with camp going on. We haven't talked about P. Ryan. Haven't heard a ton of him going around. Yes.
Actually, P. Ryan, the vets on the Redskins are pissed off at him. There's a report because he's too physical.
Too physical.
Yeah, for real. There was a report that he's been too physical at camp.
Yep.
Wow. Which I'm excited about.
Well, that's actually pretty exciting.
He's going to be the damn guy. It might only be 1 year like every other Redskins running back, but P. Ryan's the dude in Washington this year.
Any other stories you guys want to touch on?
Jalen Smith for the Cowboys. It's good to see this guy coming back. He kind of got the raw end of the deal. He would have been a top five pick in the 2016 draft. Tore his ACL in a bowl game, which is kind of upsetting, and one of the big reasons we've seen a lot of these top level prospects just not care about a bowl game unless it's a national championship game. But it looks like his knee is 100%. He will hopefully be starting for the Cowboys, and I'm excited to see this kid play because he was one of the most talented linebackers I've ever covered when covering rookies.
I guess we should announce too that was it Ryan Clady retired?
Yeah.
That's pretty big news. So, you know, he had a great career.
Yeah, not bad at all.
That's all I got though, Josh.
Ninkovich retired.
Yeah, Cam Chancellor's deal. He didn't bring up Chancellor's deal. Right. He got 3 years, $36 million extension with $25 million guaranteed for the Seahawks. Basically just ensuring that the Seahawks will continue to load that defense and hope Russell Wilson survives.
I got some more big news. Trubisky has fumbled 4 snaps.
Has he?
Yes.
Probably
taking
to learn.
Snaps under center.
He's trying to learn that hard, too.
Yeah.
he still doesn't get it, guys. It's
kind of a big deal.
All right, cool.
Oh, Mitchell.
Wrap it up. Let's go. That's all we have for you guys.
Well, we should preface. You prefaced as well that we're going to have our next few episodes here. Yeah. Those episodes, we're going to be airing one Tuesday night. Now we're going to be live.
Yeah.
Obviously on WBLZ, right?
Yeah, and then we'll take those and, you know, we'll shoot those and put them out on the podcast later on. So Tuesday nights, we will be live on WBLZ Sports. We got balls.
From 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Central Time.
Correct.
So be ready. I believe I shot a commercial last week for Josh. Josh, did we get that entered in for our show?
Not yet.
Why?
It's going to be on this week.
We're getting it on. We're putting it on.
It's possible.
And if they don't like it, they can talk to me. Okay?
Big Dick Tim.
Big Dick Valley.
All right. Well, take a look for our next couple episodes. We're going to be talking about the positional breakdowns. I believe we have running backs and wide receivers coming up. So listen in for those. If you guys want to see where our rankings are, we'll also put them on the website so everybody's got them. Some of them are a little crazy. Some of them
mostly
are
Josh's.
Yeah, mine are a little off. So,
well, yeah, it's because yours just referred to their skin color, and you don't actually have their name. You had a guy, just you said, the white guy on the Vikings.
I did,
That's
yes.
what you said.
I couldn't remember his name. I knew his name, you idiot. Come on.
Okay.
So, with that being said, we are done. We are Pony Keg Sports. You guys can follow us on Twitter, at Pony Keg Sports, at Pony Keg Tom, at Pony Keg Tim. You guys can always email us, ponykegsports@gmail.com. Also, go to our website, ponykegsports.com. Check out our buddies on their website, cleatgeeks.com. Hit them up on Twitter, at cleatgeeks. Let them know we are the ones that sent you. They do a bunch of articles on football, baseball, basketball, a little bit of everything. So hit them up on Twitter. Let them know that we sent you their way. And, yeah, what else? You got anything?
Yeah, they have the Fuzzy Wuzzy Championships as well, where they build faces and judges grade them on a scale of 1 to 10 of who made the best face.
All right. With that being said, again, Justin, thanks for coming in for the show today. All right. All that's right. All we have for you. Thanks a lot. See you next time.